Welcome to Tapeworm Transmissions. Your host, Nolan Sinnott. Today's guests, Electra and Orion. Welcome to Tapeworm Transmissions.
Minneapolis. I feel like St. Louis would be cool. Nolan was talking it up pretty hardcore the other day.
St. Louis is cool. I like St. Louis a lot.
Yeah. Middle of the summer too, so we could go out like camping and shit.
Yeah, me and Sylvia went to St. Louis. We went camping at a camping place that had like nobody there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like nobody there at all. I mean, the downside to there being nobody there was the trails were not kept up, so they were like just you couldn't walk through the trails. They were just spider webs.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was not a pleasant experience going through the trails. But camping was great. You know, we were completely.
Were you in Carbondale or St. Louis or?
St. Louis. I think your mic needs to be closer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me pull this here.
Let's just pull the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd pull the whole thing, too, also.
Yeah, I would take the whole tripod. Like,
I just didn't want to kick it over.
It's fine.
The pop filter needs to be a little bit farther away from the mic. But to answer your question about the St. Louis, I don't know where we were camping at. I don't remember the place. I don't remember if that was like in St. Louis or right outside St. Louis. But I just remember there was like nobody there. Like we put our money into like a wooden box and we still don't even think that like anybody even checked it, you know. There was nobody like manning the station, so like I feel like we could have probably not paid it. I mean, it was like $13, so like we were just gonna pay it regardless, you know. Just to, you know, But, yeah, nobody there. So, well, there was, like, one other person camping in that spot in, like, an RV, like, seven spots down. And it was pretty cool. It was super chill.
Were you by the water at all?
Yeah, we were by the water a little bit. We were kind of, like, in, like, a island.
Not a lot of mosquitoes from there?
No, it wasn't a lot of mosquitoes that I remember. Do you need help over there? Or you got it.
I got it. I just had to.
Am I good?
Move the arm.
Do I need?
You're good. You're good.
Can you turn me up?
Yeah, I can turn you up.
I can't hear anything. So, when you were like camping, did you have to drive up to the lot, or was it one of those you had to like get your shit?
Yeah, we drove up to the lot.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can I go up a little more?
Need a little bit more?
Yeah, because these are open back. That's why you can't like they're really not sensitive. Yeah, that's good. That's good. How you doing over there?
Good.
Wait, Nolan, can you actually hand me those other ones?
The other headphones?
Yeah. Thank you. I think I might have to switch them out.
Switch them out?
Yeah, because. Oh, I don't know what
listening
that's
through the world
in.
Through microphone and headphones is like fucking crazy.
Do I What's need an extension?
What's that?
Do I need an extension? Or am I good?
Yeah, you're plugged into an extension.
Oh, I am? Oh, I am. With our powers combined. Ting.
Friendship. Honor. Alright.
Infinite mortality! Alright. Just wires everywhere.
Sorry, guys.
No, you're good. Totally fine.
Practice makes perfect.
Actually, I still think I need to turn it up a little bit. Can you talk real quick?
You might just need your monitor. Yo. Up. You're pretty good.
Can you hear me okay?
Do I have a monitor?
Yeah, I have a, I have you plugged into this thing. I could turn.
Yeah, you could just turn that bad boy up. If you guys are fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Are you better now?
Can you turn it up a little bit more? Just a smidget?
Do you need just you or do you need all of us?
Everybody. It's all you guys. That's why I thought it was originally the headphones. Then I was like, maybe. I thought I was plugging directly in. Oh, that's perfect. That's good. Yeah.
Valetta, are you good? Do you need any more?
Everything just became quiet.
Oh, did you unplug? Yeah.
Oh. There it is. There it went.
There she goes.
All right. We're good.
All right, that was a little bit of a rocky start there, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We can start the conversation over about, Aletta already did her shot. Did you want another one, or are you good?
Yeah, let's do it. Pour me a quick one. Sorry.
It's not a proper, I'm going to let you pour it. I feel like it's probably safer that way.
Yeah.
It's not a proper Tapeworm Transmissions podcast unless there's whiskey, most likely Jameson, involved. Jameson, if you're listening, I'd be really interested in a sponsorship.
Do it. Double thing.
Happy Saturday. Happy rainy, shitty Saturday.
It's a gloomy Saturday.
Real gloomy Saturday. This is the 19th episode of Tapeworm Transmissions. I appreciate you guys coming on and doing this with me on a shitty day like this. I think it's probably the perfect day to do a podcast.
Any day is a good day for a podcast with you.
Yeah. You'd rather be in this dark, poorly lit room. I guess it's not poorly lit, but instead of being out on a nice sunny Saturday afternoon.
I saw this great clip online of it was a table with a white tablecloth over it, and shittily written on it, it said, "A podcast, but outside." And it was just all these dudes, like, set up outside, just bullshitting podcasting on a street outside. Corner. Yeah.
I think your mic still needs to be a little bit. You should be, like a fist away from the pop filter.
Right in my face.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry.
I can crank up your gain here a little bit, too.
I mean, in this room, if we're making some, like, you know, dope-ass tunes, I wouldn't care what it'd be like outside.
You know? You guys have been jamming hard lately. Oh, hey, I heard a rumor that your album's done, Morgan. Is that true?
No.
Oh,
all right. It's never done. The album finishes when I die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Album is after death, post-death album.
That's how you become famous.
I mean, I guess we can jump right into it. That's one of the things we wanted to talk about today on the podcast was the album progress. So thanks for joining us today, Aletta.
Hey, guys.
I didn't know if you were going to... I didn't expect you to be here today, but you said you wanted to be on a podcast with us as we were hanging out earlier before Morgan got here. And I was like, well, we'll see what Morgan says when he gets here, and we'll see if we can get you in here and to do it. And here we are. We're doing it. Yeah. But to bring it back to the album progress, I would say we are like 98 to 99% done with the actual album, with like the music part of it.
Yeah, the last time I talked to you guys about it, you had tracks that you were listening to in your car, or it was mixed and mastered, at least at that point.
Or you yeah, it was mastered. It had been mastered, so that was like... There's just one change, I think, that needs to be changed as far as my notes go. And that's the crystal transition going into Vessel, like, cuts off, like, abruptly. And needs to be faded out.
Oh, yeah.
All the other stuff that we had about the subs being too loud, it sounded perfect in my car. It sounds perfect on my phone. I think it sounds good.
Yeah, it passed my JBL test, and it passed my car test, so...
Yeah, your car subwoofer is pretty exaggerated, I would say, so...
But it's exaggerated to where I think I would know where I could tell a difference. Because I'm so used to them. Like, You know, I don't have them cranked up, you know, but I also know that, I don't know, I'm just used to what they sound like.
Right. And you, did you think it sounded okay?
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that really bothered me was, yeah, that, nothing. I didn't really have anything.
Yeah, the crystal fade, I think, is the only one, and maybe the transition going into It Reminds Me of the Sun, that, like, high-pitched sound ends before the next one begins, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know that airy sound in It Reminds Me of the Sun?
Yeah.
And, like, the transition ends and then goes into It Reminds Me of the Sun? With the airy sound, like, kind of continuing on?
It's
like,
not cut at the right spot.
Yeah, it needs to be, like, It Reminds Me of the Sun. That song needs to start sooner, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
How many tracks are you guys putting out?
Eight
total. Okay. Very cool.
But it's funny because, like, when I was going through the test of the mastering, because, you know, I wanted to listen to it
front to back. Like your car test or?
Like, yeah, you know. Okay. Like, I couldn't finish the album when I went to work. And so it's like, damn, at least that passes that. It's pretty long for eight songs.
Yeah, it is pretty long.
You get a little bonus when you get off work then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because it takes 40 minutes for me to get to work. So the album's like an hour, right?
I think it's over an hour.
Oh, really?
Let me find out. I can tell you right now exactly how long it is. Hold on.
Like an hour and some
change.
That's
a lot of music, guys.
Like,
congrats.
Well, thank you.
An hour and 5 minutes. Hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty long.
There's a lot of transitions.
Some transitions. Yeah. We have some pretty long songs. I think the longest one is...
It's like 13 minutes?
Heavy Rain, I think. Yeah, it comes in like right under 13 minutes. Pretty long.
But it doesn't feel like it. That's the other thing, too. That's like something I noticed. Like, they go by pretty quick. At least for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess we'll hear what people have to say about it, if anyone even listens, but...
Maybe give you a private listen or something.
It definitely doesn't feel, for me, it doesn't feel like the songs are, like, super long. I like that kind of music, you know, and I enjoy it. Like, I like our music, obviously we're making it, but I don't feel like the songs feel as long as they are. You know, I feel like there's enough happening... but also enough to keep it together so that it still feels like the same song, but also, like I said, also enough happening to where it's interesting enough to where it's like kind of different movements happening in between, you know, between all everything.
Yeah, a lot of feeling happen.
Kind of like takes you, you know, picks you up one place, it puts you over here, drags you across, and it puts you back down, and then slides you across the floor, and then, like,
you're slaps you around a little bit.
Slaps you around, and then you're at the end.
Yeah.
Composition is key.
Yeah, right?
As is the slapping. Very cool.
How's stuff been going with your band?
Oh, yeah.
You got two bands. Let's talk about both things. Let's talk about Echo Primordium first.
So, Echo Primordium, where we decided to do a 5-song EP. We finally found somebody to record drums for us, so we're hopefully going to be doing that in the next 4 or 5 weeks, and then getting everything recorded and ready to go. Obviously, that's its own process, but, you know, things are going by. Things have been pretty, like, slow, like, musically. Like, no one expected, you know, this thing to last as long as it has. You know, we were expecting to play shows by this summer, so...
Right.
It's... You know, everything is kind of becoming, you know, a day by day.
I'm going to interject really quick. Side Street is doing Battle of the Bands. Did you see my thing on Instagram?
Yeah.
We should sign up for it. You guys should sign up for it, too.
I don't know. I'm kind of...
The only band battles I want to do is where, like, we're actually, like, at war with them.
No, I think you guys should sign up for it. I think everybody should. I think Lumiel, I think we all should sign up to be...
That'd be cool to have, like, a Loud Feather special. Like, just have all of us come out.
And just to see what happens, you know? Like, so how it works is It's going to be all outside shows where we played before. They're going to do, you can't do any covers. It has to all be original music, and they're going to do two bands a night. So like two bands play.
So it's like a bracket thing.
They do like a 30-45 minute set. And then, it's based on, voters. So whoever's in the crowd votes who's going to be the winner. And, then they move on to the next round.
Interesting.
So it's going to take place over the course of like the whole summer. So like you may play like the first show, and then you may not play for a couple weeks because they're going through like the rounds of like everybody, and then you'll come back and do like another 30-45 minute set against another band.
If you make it.
I've done it.
The thing I worry about with our genre is that like the reverb from the tall buildings down there would just make it sound, I mean, I guess it would probably sound pretty crushing, but...
You'd have to be there.
You guys probably sound sick down there.
I think, in general, everyone will sound good there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's something about where the buildings are positioned, mm-hmm. that makes everything sound so fucking crisp.
Interesting. Like,
I don't understand it, but, like... Even Leo, like, will vouch for this. Like,
the natural reverberation of that alley is just, like, beautiful.
If you guys and us can play on the same night, I'll do it.
We can't guarantee. I don't think we have any say in who plays.
I think they draw it out of a hat.
Yeah, I think it's all going to be, like random.
Yeah, well, because when I actually did it, I did it, in 2014.
You made it, like, through two rounds, right?
Yeah, we made it through two rounds. There was, like, four altogether, I think. So we did pretty good. It was with Phantoms and Pestilence. There's actually a video that was recorded that it's one of my favorite things, because I was like, damn, that feel when you're in that moment, and like to someone to capture it, you're just like, that was a fucking good time. But yeah, we lost to a band kind of R&B like, but. It was all right, you know? We still had a good time.
That show that you guys played, the Phantom and Pestilence one that, like, I had went to there, where Kyle was helping you set up the lights and everything.
Oh, yeah. We're the only ones with lights.
That was a super sick... That's the one that you guys won, right?
Yeah.
That was a super sick show. You guys fucking absolutely crushed it.
What band was that?
Phantoms and Pestilence.
Phantoms and Pestilence. I was actually
in
just...
Pestilence?
And
Pestilence.
Yeah. I was just wearing that shirt the other day, to be honest, actually.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Nice. But I didn't see you.
Yeah, it's okay.
But you guys absolutely crushed it that night, and I remember, like...
Just the energy of that whole place.
Yeah, I was not... I actually called off work that day because I was not in, like, the right mindset. I just was, like, not feeling good. This was kind of... Shortly after Doug had passed away, I think with like that summer afterwards.
Oh shit!
And
was this Petco?
Yeah, this was at Petco. Yeah, so I was just like not in like the right mindset and just not like happy or anything. And I think there was a girl I was like gonna meet there that day, and I think she bailed on me, and I was just like, whatever. And I had already called off of work and everything. And then I saw you guys play, and I think that's what, like, really, that night is what kickstarted me wanting to be, like, more of your friend, and how we became, like, closer with each other.
Because of my shitty music abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's cool. I'm glad I struck, a flame, you know?
So that show was... You playing outside of Side Street?
Actually, this was inside
that
Side Street.
That was inside, yeah.
Inside Side Street, okay.
Which before is even crazy.
Do they have a venue in there, or is it just kind of like...
It's like an art gallery.
Okay.
But it's kind of small.
Yeah.
But big enough to fit, like, you know, a decent size.
It looks dope when it's... Because it fills out really easily, and it just looks dope, and it sounds dope, and it's a dope spot to do, like, on a night when when they're doing something... It's just dope to do it. Whatever they're doing, it's just dope to be there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Side Street, Tanner, Aaron.
Yeah, Side Street Studios in Elgin.
Maybe we can go check it out, because, like, it does sound very tantalizing to, like, play a show, any show. But I guess it's kind of, like, almost just out of my element to play not in like a curated like genre type show. You know what I mean? Like every show I've played has been you know, promoter
based.
You know, getting together bands that like they think would make a, you know, great entertaining time. So it'd be weird to like have me and Dave crushing out an Echo Primordium set next to like an R&B band.
I'd
feel really weird like saying the shit I say in front of like the general public. You know what I mean?
I know where you're at with that.
But the point of it though is to get your people out there.
True. Because and I know all you guys would come for sure.
Because it's based on like votes, you know. So, mm-hmm. like, if you get like a lot of your people out there, that's like a big turn, you know, and getting people to like be like into what you're doing. Could turn the votes, you know. And what even if you don't make it past the first round, even if we don't make it past the first round, I think we should all still do it just to play a show.
Plus, as being an Elginite, helping the community do like something amazing.
That is really cool.
Is also sure. like a key thing that makes me want to like, you know, help out. So
it'll be like a level in Guitar Hero, you know, just like downtown Elgin.
Star power.
Pulling up.
We should get your fire dancers to show up, dude. If you figure out who's in charge of that, just be like, "Hey, like, can we just have these two bands play the same day?" Like,
May 14th is when the applications close, and they're accepting 16 bands.
Okay.
So we may not even be accepted into doing it. I feel like Morian has a pool for TWFK.
Pull up the application. Let's see what it says.
I'm not gonna say that, you know. I have pull, but
oh, it's four bands per night.
Wow, they changed it up. Used to just be two.
Mm-hmm. They've done it a different kind of every year. I feel like the year that you guys did it was only two, but I think the year before that they did it like four.
Yeah.
Until like towards the end, but like toward the beginning of it.
Yeah, dude, that was the time when I played with Beach Bunny, too. I think they played too on the same.
So rules. Year. This is a 2-month commitment. Popular vote competition, original material only. All participants are required to sign a Side Street Studios Arts BOB contract, former liability waiver, which includes consent for usage of photos, audio, video, recording, failure. To complete that contract will by June 1st, you will be disqualified. Load-in and check-in is 1 hour prior to showtime, 5 p.m. This may change to 6 p.m. if the market requires. Doors are open 30 minutes prior to show. I think they're using the same rules from when they did it indoors because it's going to be outdoors. Votes can only be accepted by patrons in attendance at each battle. Patrons are allowed only one vote with an issued voting ticket from the door. Tickets will be available for $5. Winners must be available for all the rounds. Pretty much, you just got to be there and just do, like, you know, show up to do whatever they're doing.
What's required on the application? Like, do you need, like, audio, video, pictures?
I don't think you need anything.
Just audios for them to, like, you know, probably just a portfolio so you can send them.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a link to something that, or an MP3 track or something. Pretty lenient.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm looking for what.
Also, they usually have, like, you know, a nice little selection of PBR and High Life and some wine.
Oh my God!
Going to be $1,000 in prizes for the winner.
You get $1,000 gift card to McDonald's.
Can I get it to TGI Fridays?
Ooh, Fridays.
Doesn't say anything. You just email Tanner at sidestreetstudios.org and or call 847-429-2276 extension 2276 extension 702 to
are you writing that down?
No, I'm about to call it right now. I'm just kidding.
to secure
Tanner.
To put in the application.
Hey, is this Tanner? We should call Tanner right now.
I actually have his number.
So I think we should all do it. Leo, if you listen to this podcast, I want you to message me right after you hear this part that you guys are going to be applying to the podcast. I see that Jay liked the post on Instagram, so I feel like he's fully aware of it. And you guys should do it. I feel like Echo Primordium should do it. I feel like with the Waterfall King and Lumiel should do it. And I mean, if Echo Primordium isn't ready for it, then maybe Noose Ritual, but I know you're not a part of that.
I don't think they'd be ready for it either. Metal bassists are hard to come by these days.
What happened to Eric?
No, Eric's there. I guess I could play with two guitar players. They sound really good, like the three of
them. Oh, I thought he was playing bass in that band.
No, second guitar.
Oh.
Yeah, he's crushing it. Eric's fucking ridiculous at guitar.
Yeah, he's good at everything.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like I saw this guy playing like his electric kit one night and I was like, what?
Yeah, he's supposed to be bringing it to the studio soon. I'm excited to watch him rip it.
The other night,
oh my God, it was so fun. Me, Eric, and Mario were all in our room and we each had a mic and we like set up
Mario
in a little semicircle and
jealous.
They had all these instrumental Alice in Chains tracks. So between the three of us, we were doing all of the harmonies and all the like harsh vocals. And it was like, we're all different vocalists. You know, Eric's really good at the screaming. Mario's really good at the, baritone stuff. And I was doing a lot of the like high harmonies. So between the three of us, it was like, we just had this innate kind of love for Alice in Chains. It was like our little tribute to Layne Staley the other night.
Yeah, because it was the day that Saturday? He died or whatever the other day.
Yeah, April 5th. That's crazy.
Damn.
I love Mario.
Yeah, Mario's pretty good. I think he should consider being the vocalist for Lumiel.
I thought Leo said that he found...
Yeah, on the last podcast, they said Leo did say they found someone, and he showed me the track. Sorry, Leo, that I'm throwing under the bus here. Still hit me up about playing that Battle of the Bands. But, he had said that, they locked someone in that was pretty good, but so they must have just not panned out the way they were expecting it to. But I wish I was, like, good enough to sing, because, like, I could hear what they want. Like, I know what they want out of, like, the vocalist. I just am not capable of doing it, you know? I'm not...
Take me there, Nolan. Tell me what they want.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, I could hear it in my head. Maybe if I had, like, the tracks and worked on it for, like, a couple months, I could, like, get to, like, a somewhat reasonable point. But
have they ever made physical copies?
No.
All right.
They said just to message them. So if anyone's listening and is a vocalist, message... look up Lumiel, L-U-M-I-E-L, on Facebook, and you can message them there, and I'm sure they'll respond back
to you. Super awesome ambient prog.
Yeah.
Post-metal band. Very cool.
I've heard a couple tracks off their with the album they have, like, ready to go that they're looking for a vocalist on, and it is fucking stellar. They are a really fucking well-rounded group of musicians. Really talented.
Mario would be great.
Mario would be great. I think
he would fire in that in like all cylinders and destroy it.
It's really rare that you come across somebody who is actually like good at vocals these days. Like lots of people have like a strict like stage presence thing or like a lyrical talent. But Mario is like, as soon as you hear his voice, you're just like encapsulated by it, you know,
and he doesn't match like with what he looks like at all, you know, like
he's such a goof, he's so funny.
So like those two things are like isolated, you know, like we were saying where it's like stage presence, like gimmicky type of thing, you know, like he would not be relying on that in any way, like
no,
just like literally sheer talent.
Yeah,
just like I had them on the podcast before, Eric and Mario on the podcast for Substrate, and I had heard the song that they had released the name of the song eludes me right now, but it was really good. And I was talking to him about, you know, like the process of doing it, and he was so like new at all of this. You know, he had never even like recorded a song before doing that one.
Really?
I actually sold him his vocal mic.
Oh.
That was maybe in November, December.
Wow, now I feel like just garbage.
Nah, dude, you have a beautiful voice.
You got a good voice.
Don't ever feel bad about
it. No, because like, you know, when you listen to someone else and you're like, fuck.
That's how I feel about you.
No. I guess it's like just the, I don't know, what is that called? When you just, you hate yourself?
Jealousy?
It's just self-loathing.
Self-loathing, that's the thing.
You really shouldn't feel that way about, you know...
Yeah, dude, your voice is incredible.
About talent that other people have. Like, it's easy to be, you know, jealous or angry about people's success or talent, but...
Like, right now, that one lyric from, like, Tool, that, or was it Perfect Circle? I think it's Perfect Circle. He's like, mine! that one. I don't know why that's going through my head right now. But I was like, I want it.
What song is that?
I don't know, but it's a fucking good song.
This is mine. I know what you're talking about.
I think it's Perfect Circle.
I think that's Perfect Circle, yeah.
Mine.
Yeah, I think...
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't know. That was just running through my head right now because, like, it's like when you listen to someone like that, you're like, I want it.
Yeah, I want definitely. It.
You know?
But you should definitely not feel... inferior with your voice in any way. Like, dude, you have an incredible voice that, like, I'm surely envious of. And I think you, like, the music that we've made, it just, like, it just fits. Like, I think everything that me and you have done is, like...
It's fucking butterscotch.
Like, when we were listening to the master the other day with Trevor...
He was like, what band is this?
Like, and we were all really? Just like...
Oh, I'm so excited to hear it.
Yeah, we were all excited about it. We were all, like, amped that, like, it sounds good, you know? We didn't know what to expect, and we started this venture, like, a little over a year ago. When did we get the album artwork done? Like, in December of 2019, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So, I don't even think we've released the album artwork, have we?
No.
So
that is also under wraps.
I haven't even seen that. I've only seen the demo and your single artwork.
I think you've seen the...
You might have seen it a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah, like when it was finished.
But yeah, because that was like over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Year and like 6 months ago, 5 months ago.
Yeah, dude, 2021 is on its way right now. We're
in it.
Beginning of April. Like.
But we commissioned the artwork. We're like, yeah, we're going to start recording. Let's start getting something down. You know, we got these songs and we didn't have Trevor even yet at that point. So like me and Maureen commissioned this artwork to like solidify what we were doing, you know, like let's just commit to it. You know, like this guy is, you had the idea of like hitting him up and just like actually commissioning it. I never even thought to like, oh, this guy is just like a professional person. And lo and behold, the Mont Doom, MONTDOOM. Mont Doom is just like a normal guy that lives in Italy.
He's your artist?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
really cool guy.
Okay.
Super cool guy. Worked on it with us like back and forth for like a couple months. And then we got our finished product and, you know, he sent it over to us. And that was just like the moment we were like, yeah, this is it. And then we did the two demo songs, like, first. We already had, like, we were working on those as, like, the artwork was coming along. And we put out Crystal and Filth. And then,
Was that with Trevor?
That was with Trevor, yeah.
Yeah.
That was, like, the beginning of 2020. We put that out. That was with Trevor. We recorded those. I remember we were still downstairs and we were up, like, all night recording that shit.
I actually felt like that went really smooth, though.
It did, yeah.
Like, for just a random cut, just cut and clean, go, it flowed really well.
I think so. I'm putting those songs on cassette. I got to show you afterwards. I wanted to go through the artwork with you for the cassette so that...
You changing it?
No, I just want to make sure we're all good with what we got.
Gotcha.
And then put those...
How many demo songs do you have out on Spotify right now?
Just the two, Crystal and Phil.
Okay.
The ones that'll be on the cassettes.
Yeah, those versions will be on cassette that are on Spotify right now. On the album, those are not the same versions.
Yeah, we redid those.
We redid.
Sick.
We redid those two songs. So they're like the HD versions of them.
The Waterfall King on Spotify, everybody.
I can't wait for you guys to be on there.
In case you forgot their band. yeah, dude, fuck yeah. I have a...
So tell me about these drums.
The drums? Oh, yeah, so someone I actually work with, you would never expect him to be a fan of black metal and, you know, in its most extreme form, you would never expect him to be a drummer, you know, of that same genre. He's actually in a surf band.
Oh, that's cool.
Called the Aquaholics, and we were just talking.
Wait, what is it?
The Aquaholics.
Aquaholics.
I know.
I love it. It's like a spinoff
on... what's up, Marky?
Spinoff on Aquabats.
Me and Maureen have been discussing the idea of doing some e-boy music.
What the fuck is that?
You know, some good stuff. It's... You can explain it more.
I don't think I can explain it more than that.
Okay.
Basically, just some like super simpy.
Like Justin Bieber, like no. That's kind of like what I'm imagining.
Like I've only like thought E-boy. About it, like kind of like surfy, poppy, like punky,
dream pop, like surf.
Like actual surf music, like.
Like just.
Fucking.
I don't know how you explain it. Some indie stuff, really.
Some indie, like imagine indie, what you would think of indie, with the surf and the punk and like the poppiness of it, and like the e-boy, you know, the internet boy.
What's an e-boy?
I actually don't know.
What's a? I'm not hip with the trends.
I don't know what e-boy is either. But
I spend my time thinking about Norwegian black metal.
I mean,
but yeah, check this out. So I was hanging out with Marky at work. He's got his signature Aquaholics guitar, and he's like, "Yo, so I play like mayhem at shows for all these old guys, and they don't even know because they play it in a surf style. So they play, you know, mayhem and Dark Throne and Bathory, you know, all in the surf style."
Huh.
But, you know, they don't have vocals, obviously, or they'll, like, you know, sing, you know, the vocals. But they're doing all these paid gigs, and they're playing satanic black metal for all these people, and they have no idea.
That's great.
Because, like, the style is completely the same. It's just different gear. You know,
different tools of the trade.
Yeah, it's so cool.
It's crazy how much that can make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But that's a dude who we're going to try to have do drums, hopefully. Soon, in the last stages of writing all of that right now.
Dope. That's what's up.
Just trying to solidify everything and make it, you know, not sound like everything else.
Right. And make it natural and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. So, e-girl and e-boy is the E stands for electronic.
Okay.
And it's basically like the, social media personification of who we're gonna be. That is like kind of like on a poppy side of things, I feel like.
Something that'll get us on Jimmy Fallon or something.
Yeah.
That'd be great to see you guys on Jimmy Fallon.
So, you know.
So are you gonna be the e-girl?
No, Maureen is the e-boy.
Okay, so Maureen's the e-boy.
I mean, I guess
and
we
you're
both.
The e-girl.
We'll be e-boys. None of us will be e-girls.
Okay.
But Maureen will be like the main e-boy, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to sell myself real, real good.
Can I have an example? Because like I feel completely.
Should I play?
Just at a loss right now.
the BB.
You got anything more popular than that?
Let me see if I can find, like, look them up and then see what's similar to them.
Waking up just to say your goodbyes. Think composure, but I know you lie.
What's electronic about this?
Nothing, but like
the music isn't electronic. Their social platform is electronic. They're like, their personality is only real because of the internet.
Oh, so they like play their songs on TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
I guess. I don't know how to explain it.
Sorry, I'm culturally.
But
like,
ours will
behind.
Be a little more electronic though, because imagine that with some lo-fi, and some 808 slappers in it, and like a little bit of like The Weeknd. And there you go. There you have it.
It will be like that mixed with The Weeknd.
Yeah.
I'll meditate on it and see if I can like.
That's Waterfall King album too.
All right, let's do it.
We were actually thinking about making that as a side thing from that, but we never came up with a good name. So,
what do you think would be a good name
for a band like that?
If me and Maureen were in that kind of band,
with The Weeknd,
or me, Maureen, and Trevor, like if we were all like boy bandy,
yeah,
but not like NSYNC boy band, like that kind of boy band. Like those guys in the raincoats at the show that we played.
Oh gosh,
that
yeah.
Was so weird.
Wow, memories.
That was something that I wanted to bring up too. Actually, was
that show?
Well, I mean, Aletta has technically been in the Waterfall King.
Yeah,
played bass for you guys
for like 6 months almost. I feel
dude,
like.
That show was so fucking weird.
That was a weird show.
It was
like. Who dresses up like that, like, to be in a band? Like, I literally thought when they came on stage that they were going to sound like, what are those fruit salad people?
The Wiggles?
At fucking Six Flags. Yeah, I thought they were going to be, like, the Wiggles. And they were, like, playing indie rock and, like, dancing around in these...
Raincoats?
Yellow raincoats?
Yeah, these, like, sailor suit raincoats.
Oh, yeah, they did have, like, some stripes on and everything.
Yeah, I was very confused.
They were, like, a touring band. Right? They were like a...
What the fuck?
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Can we figure out the name of that band? Is that possible?
E-Boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't remember.
All I remember is there was a guy there who kept trying to make me buy his merch.
Yeah, I remember that guy. He had recorded our whole set. And he was, like, the last band to play, like, wanted us to stay. And it's like, dude, this is Sunday. We all work at, like, between 3 and 8 o'clock.
No, he actually played, I think, right after us. And it was, like, an all-acoustic set where he was...
I don't think so. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a different dude. They all kind of melded together for me, honestly.
No, I know what you mean. But, no, yeah. The guy that was trying to get everyone to buy shit, he was playing, like, way later. And, like, he was trying to get everyone to stay, and he was, like, super bummed. He was like, I recorded you guys. Like, you're not going to stay for our set. And it's like, dude, we got to fucking go. You know,
yeah,
like,
sorry.
We're all adults and have jobs.
I literally, you know, I went backstage. Yeah, this is not a show that had a backstage.
I mean, it had, like,
had a green room.
But, yeah, I was like, hey, like, is there any beer left? You know? And the guy was like, no, but you can buy a shirt. And I was like, what are you talking about? Get away from me.
Yeah. You
like, I just want to fucking PBR. Like, leave me alone. Yeah, that was a very interesting show.
I actually put a sticker on something of mine. So he gave me a sticker.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, talk about a promoter fail. That was very interesting. I wonder what those kids are doing.
And then we pretty much, like, our audience paid for the band that was touring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were the only people that brought anyone. Sounded cool, you know, a big room, doom metal.
Those 808s with that stage.
Fucking fire. Yeah.
Except your guitar was like messing up right or something like that.
Yeah, it's weird. Something was happening.
So how does it feel having been in the Waterfall King? What is that like?
It feels a little bit like
as an outside perspective.
Like a You ever stubbed your toe and then, like, feel like maybe it's, like, an ingrown toenail and it kind of hurts,
mm-hmm.
but then it goes away? It's kind of like that.
Oh. At least we're always there.
Yeah, always there. Always there. I think about my toe. I think about you guys. You know, I think about our memories together.
That sharp pain. lasted for a minute, but it was so good.
Do you think if we were at the point that we were at now, and you were like considering to play with us, do you think you would be like continuing to play with us?
I don't know.
Not to get weird or anything. Like, yeah. I'm not like asking you to play with us. I'm just just throwing out like hypotheticals.
I've definitely changed my idea of being a bass player in the last couple of years. So,
well, now that you don't just play bass, it's like,
yeah, and you don't really play bass as much. Yeah. And we should talk about your other bands here in a minute.
Oh yeah, totally. Absolutely. But yeah, I just want to like help. Because I realized that was kind of my identity as a bass player. I kept, like, jumping on with people that, like, needed people because I just wanted to go out and play. And I'm just going to kind of keep it like that. I'm not going to try to, you know, be in a band as a bass player and write as a bass player because it just doesn't really make sense.
Right.
Rock and metal is guitar forward, so that's why I play guitar now. But there is a band that actually impressed me to the point where I'm like, yeah, I'll fucking play with you. Called Hatemonger, from Chicago. Fucking great group of dudes playing extreme, you know, Swedish style death metal. Oof. HM2s up to 10.
Nice.
Super sick.
What tuning do they play in?
Drop A.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
One step lower than us.
That's okay.
Yeah, they just released a video today, or yesterday, last night. Super cool for their song. Plague something. Sorry, guys. Bad with names.
That's okay.
That's okay.
But yeah, fucking super cool. Three-piece band that did all of the recording. And then live, they want two guitar players, so I'm playing bass for them for that. So
the one guitar player was playing bass on the record?
Yes.
And then the one guitar player was double tracking, so they're going to have the bass player play guitar, and then they're having you play bass.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. So John has always been a bass player, but he decided to do rhythm for this because his guitar tone is just too disgusting to not be played live. So
hell yeah.
It's super cool.
Hell yeah. How does it feel getting back into the bass role?
It's actually pretty cool, you know, being surrounded by people who have been, you know, making it a part of their lifestyle, like as hardcore as I have for, I mean, they're a little bit older than me, so a little bit longer, but since about the same age, like it's super cool, you know, going out and living that life and, being surrounded by it all the time.
And knowing that you have a group of guys that like want it fucking bad.
Yeah.
Is like a thing that also is assuring.
Yeah, all of them have been in tons of bands like over the years, like, and it's great. Like Gary Naples, he's in a band called November's Doom, and he's just insanely talented drummer. He plays completely differently than like any other person I've heard. He's like got a, like, getting to know his style. Like at first you're like, oh, you're just playing blast beats and like fucking around, you know, but after a while you kind of notice like how
the nuances in his playing and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's super weird, super cool, love it. So
that's what's up.
That's been super fun.
Are they on Spotify?
No, their album comes out next week. I think it's April 16th. They are dropping
shit. Check it. Hatemonger, April 16th, check it out, y'all.
Yeah, Hatemonger band on Instagram. Just put out a video via Invisible Oranges, which is a Chicago-based music website, write about music, promote music.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Check them out. Apparently, you know a guy that knows a guy. And
do I?
You do?
Yeah. Your buddy Chase said he like knew all the guys over there. So.
Oh, Chase. Chase Fergie.
He does?
Apparently.
I mean, Chase. I feel like Chase knows a lot of people.
Well, shoot, maybe we can give him the record to be like.
I mean, I talked to Aletta about having them come on.
Yeah.
To do the podcast.
I feel like you and John would get along.
Or me coming out there to do the podcast, and I think that would be super dope.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wanted to be there, if it would just be like me.
Probably just do the three of them. I mean, they're the ones that wrote and recorded the record.
Right.
Like, gotcha. Apparently their bassist just like ran away when they started recording. like, they couldn't get a hold of him, and they were just like, you know what?
Pulled a Darcy.
Yeah, we're just going to record your parts, and, you know, because John's been a bass player forever. Yeah.
That's super dope. How did you, like, stumble into that?
It was actually kind of funny. The vocalist and lead guitar player, Jerome, I've known him for years. He's kind of a professional man on the town. Like, if you play in the metal scene in Chicago, you're going to meet him. So I met him forever ago, just been friends, you know, in the scene. I met John from Bear Mace. He's a bass player in a band called Bear Mace that we played with in the Derangement.
I've seen them before.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, time goes on. I actually got a phone call from Jerome when I was at work, and he hadn't called me in forever. So I was like, oh, shit, what's up, dude? You know, busy as hell. He's like, hey, man, you want to be in my band? I'm like, oh, thanks for thinking of me, dude. That's great. Like, let me call you back. It's busy as hell, but I'm so glad I picked up that phone call because it's been super fun so far.
He called you at the store?
No, I just had my phone in my pocket. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking. But I was still talking to him, like, in front of everyone.
Whatever. I definitely do really love and appreciate the music scene and the connectivity that it, like, brings with people. I don't know if it's like that with other scenes, you know, if you're, like, really into being, like, a machinist. I don't know. I feel like maybe it does paths cross, but I feel like, you know, music has so much more passion into it, and when, like, the paths cross like that and things circle back, I feel like it becomes I don't know, it just
the only thing it kind of teaches me is that, like, if you persevere, just keep going, do it for the fun of it, like, you'll meet someone you'll be working with 5 years from now.
Yeah,
you know, just like you guys, you know.
That
just
was like, that was gonna be my next point with that, was like after, you know, I was doing the River Gypsies and the Seeds of Apollo with Doug, and after he passed away, like, I didn't think, like, I honestly didn't think I would ever be playing music, like, ever again. I was like, I'm fucking done with music. Like, how am I ever gonna find someone to play music with, like, how I was on, like, that level with, like, Doug? You know, it's all just, like, gonna be cover band bullshit and just, you know, just for the sake of playing music instead of really, like, playing from, like, where in a special place, you know? And, like, 2.5 years later, you know, now me and Morian got the studio here, and it still took a lot of, morphing and figuring things out to, like, make it happen to get to the point to where we're at now. But yeah, I mean, I didn't think, you know, in 2017, January of 2017, I did not think I would be, one, even alive, or, like, at the point that I'm at now. And that's, like, super badass, and, like, I appreciate and am super grateful to be able to play music with you, Morian.
I too am grateful to be playing with myself and you.
Sorry. Getting all, you know, supportive and shit over here.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah.
No, but it's been a journey, and like you said, the people that we will meet in the future and the things that we will all accomplish will be fucking beautiful.
And that's what's really cool about, you know, being an artist or a musician, is that, you know, your success is kind of based on your... Sorry, I'm away from the mic. So, like, when you're a musician, like, your success is kind of based on the length of your career. Like, obviously, you can, you know, base it on the amount of money that you've made, oh, you know, geez. But where you... Sorry, you can do that in multiples.
Yeah.
But, you know... Are you really a musician if you only were a musician for 2 years? And then stopped, you know what
right.
I mean? Like, did you just put out songs, or are you, like, you know?
And the other
kind
thing,
of a lifestyle
too, I feel like that people forget about being like any type of artist is in order to like be an artist, you have to be human first. You know, art doesn't necessarily come from like lions and tigers and shit like that. You got to be a human. You got to experience like human life. You got to experience the turmoil and tragedy that comes with like being omnipotent,
all-knowing, the all-knowing musician.
I guess not I guess that's not the word I'm thinking of. Just being like self-aware, you know.
Yeah.
You go through like a lot of stuff being just being like a human, you know, and then to have a passion on top of that. And then to want to actually, like, pursue that passion, because there's a lot of people that like music, but they aren't necessarily musicians, you know? There's a lot of people that, you know, pick up maybe the guitar for, like, a couple months and then put it down. I don't know if I would necessarily call them musicians, not to put them down or anything, but, like, obviously the people in the room right here have pushed through that feeling to actually, I feel like, take the title of being a musician, and,
I just pick up my guitar to shred, and that's it.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm gonna do a little later here. Very excited about this fuzz pedal that Nolan made.
Oh, you got a fuzzy?
Yeah, it's called the pork meat.
Oh, shoot!
Pork meat. Damn. Nolan made some pedals.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got the Storm Doomer. It's, you know, I'm so excited that Tapeworm Devices busted out this new pedal line of fuzzes, one knobs.
Tapeworm Electronics.
Oh, shit.
Tapeworm Electronics, the new fuzz pedal from Tapeworm Electronics. It's called Pork Meat. I'll be trying it out a little bit later. Nolan makes pedals. Because he's a fucking nerd.
Big ol' sloppy nerd. I forgot where I was going with whatever I was saying before.
Sorry. Tell me about your pedals, Nolan.
Like the ones that I've been making?
Yeah.
The pedal game has been a little slow after I did like the... How many did I do? Five of them? I think I did 5 one-knob fuzz pedals that were all different. I'm keeping one for myself. I gave one to Morian for his birthday, and then, like, you're borrowing that other one right now to slab it around. So I got 2 other ones that are just kind of sitting there. They all kind of sound different. They all have their own, like, flavor and distinction, and I think they're kind of cool. But other than that, I'm just been building a lot of rat pedals and kind of testing around with the different types of components that you can use to make them. And I think the most recent one that I made is either the best one or the second best sounding one that I've made.
I honestly think the best one you made is sitting over there.
The one on the top there?
Yeah.
No, the best one I feel like I made is either this one or the one that I sold. And that one sounded really good.
What's in the pink enclosure? The one that's on... oh, it's not on his board right now.
No.
What is that one?
The pink enclosure on the tape board?
I don't know. Trevor uses it. It has like a...
King of Tone.
Oh, it's a fuzz still.
No, it's an overdrive.
Oh, that's an overdrive? I thought it was a fuzz. Oh, it's a fuzz and an octave thing, isn't it?
The other one is the silver one.
Gotcha.
That's the rat and the octave.
Right. But yeah, pedal game strong.
You know, I think I actually have to get going. It's like 6:30 now, I believe.
Yeah, 6:22.
So I think the big takeaways today were like, you know, us doing, you know, getting up on that side street thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I'm warning you down to keep going.
Yeah, we can keep going.
All right. We'll keep going.
I'm going to unplug. It was nice to talk to you guys.
All right, Aletta. Thanks
I
for
coming. I might come back, but maybe not.
It's okay.
You are now leaving the Matrix.
I am now leaving the chat.
Well, thanks for coming out. Appreciate it. I'm going to pause the audio here for just a second, so anyone listening, pardon the sudden cut, possibly.
All right.
Hey.
We're back. Now that Aletta's gone, finally.
We could do some fun stuff.
We could talk about the real stuff.
Brass tacks.
I thought of another good movie script we can do.
What's that?
The Karate Kid.
I'm not Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Are you Daniel or are you the girl? Which Karate Kid?
Well, okay, well, if
who's that girl anyway? Who was it? Hilary Swank?
Susan?
Hilary Swank, though, right? Played that.
I'm not sure.
I think so.
If we're going to add Susan in, I was just thinking about doing dialogues between me and you, and we do Mr. Miyagi and Daniel. You know, like the faucet.
Oh, the faucet. I was thinking the one where the guy's like, swipe the knee. Like, the good coach and the that tells him to take the kid's knee.
I don't remember specifically that.
Not Daniel, but the other guy. Because, you know, the other guy, his trainer was just like a complete asshole. You know.
I don't remember. I really don't remember, like, the specifics of that movie. It's been so long.
Yeah, we've got to watch it. I haven't seen Cobra Kai yet either.
No, I haven't seen any of that either. I feel like I got to watch all the
movies and
Karate Kids, or at least, like, one or two of them.
Start from the beginning. And then skip the one with Hilary Swank.
What was that other show where it was like the other like a couple younger white kids that were ninjas?
Hollywood Ninjas?
No, not Beverly Hills Ninja. Oh, that's with the Chris Farley, and I think the guy that was in Mortal Kombat.
What are you thinking about?
It was just like a bunch of like it was like three white kids.
Not ringing a bell.
That were like ninjas.
Nope.
The three white kid ninjas. I don't know. Anyway, I forgot how we got there. What were we talking about before that?
Scripts.
Mr. Miyagi and Daniel.
Is this the fly one? He's like, you have to catch the fly.
We could do that one. We could do the wax on, wax off.
Oh gosh, there's so many.
There's a lot of good ones. The other one that I had mentioned before was Kill Bill, where she goes into the sushi shop where the guy that makes a bunch of swords is just making sushi now, and that whole conversation would be good.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, you speak Japanese?
Oh, I don't know.
Konnichiwa.
I'd be down for that.
That one would be good. The one that I really want to do is Mean Girls, but we got to have Trevor here to do Mean Girls.
Is it the three girls?
Yeah, the three girls.
Oh, gosh.
So that one would be really good.
Yeah, that would be good. Trevor would be great at that.
Yeah, agreed. But other than that,
lay it on me.
Yeah, so how are we going to do, so there was like kind of three questions that are compounded into one, I think, that need to be answered for the album coming up.
Mm-hmm.
When is it coming out?
Ooh.
Is there going to be a single? And how is it coming out?
Release date. I don't know. That's, to me, that's kind of up in the air right now. Because, you know. I'm pretty sure you're on the same boat with me when we want to have like a release, like, you know, show for it. Cause that's, you know, you only make your first album once. You know, so you had to go all out with it. And, that's how I feel. You?
Yeah, I agree.
And, honestly, I saw, you know, tours being rescheduled again for like fall and like next year, but I don't know, that all is like Everyone's getting shots now. A lot's happening.
Yeah, I still feel unsure about 2022. I feel like things will be more solid, but I don't feel like 2021 is still going to kind of be like wishy-washy.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be kind of a hit or miss, I think, with everything.
Agreed.
So I don't know if you want to wait till 2022 to put it out.
I mean, that would give us a lot more time to do the PR work for it or get ready for it at least.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we can get all our singles ready.
Right.
There'll be 8 singles. Oh.
I mean, maybe 7 because one's technically a cover.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You can't have a single be a cover.
Oh, dude, after this, I got to show you the footage on the camcorder. We got to look at, we got to review some of that footage. It is gold.
Yeah?
Yeah.
From when?
That
night with Trevor?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Gold.
All right.
Super gold. But yeah, so we don't really have a release date.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it like song by, like when we do release it, do you want to do it like song, like one song, like every other week or something like that, one song a month or something?
It might do like one song a month, but it'll only be 2 songs, I feel like. Like we'll re-release Phil and Crystal again. I'm just kidding. you already got that one. But I don't know, I'm thinking maybe we can do like a twofer, but both of those, like the one that comes out second, like would be closer to the release of the album. And maybe both of them have like a video. Like maybe the second one be more effective video rather than us playing. Maybe like it's like I've been working on some visuals, so maybe we could do something like that as part of like a promo.
Yeah.
But also have a full length on there.
Right.
For it, because you know it's all about visuals. It's all about them YouTube credits.
The YouTube credits.
But yeah, we got time to do all that. So to anyone who's listening to this, hold on
tight.
Yeah.
Hold on real tight.
But also I was thinking about having like a like an easy listen, like take like 10 people and have them listen to it. You know, like basically a glorified hangout session where like what everyone already does, where they just, you know, hey, let's hang out. You want to hear my music? You know, kind of shit basically. But
a,
I don't know.
A listening party.
Yeah. A listening party.
A
maybe.
Soft listening party.
Yeah. A soft listening
party.
Yeah. At least that way, maybe we can like get like the ball rolling on like some turbulence for it. You know, like maybe give it to someone that'll write something about it. I don't know. Like some kind of a, what was this thing that Aletta was talking about? Orange peel.
I didn't catch the full specifics of it, to be honest.
Oh.
I can't remember.
But I guess something like that too. I also want to look into if anyone's out there that knows how to like get your stuff to, you know, be out there in a broader spectrum for everyone to hear it. Let us know. Let me know. Just trying to find different ways how we can, you know, we don't want to just release the album. You know, like all our friends will hear it. It's great, you know, but we also want to be able to
expand on that.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of digging.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how the best way to go about expanding on, like, an audience that way. You know, I'm not skilled that way. I just play music.
Yeah, like, aside from networking with the people in the same kind of, like, genre, you know, but that's like you playing shows, though, you know? It's kind of harder with COVID and trying to just release an album on a digital platform with ads, you know. But I do see a lot of them. I'd be scrolling through Facebook, there'd be bands I'd never seen before, all got video stuff. Some of them are catching my eye, you know. I'm like, I know I catch myself like not like I stop looking and I'm like look watching this thing and I'm like, well, you know, they caught it. Good job.
Right.
There's your paid your paid ad right there. So yeah.
I can't wait to do some video stuff.
I know. I'm actually pretty stoked. Like
yeah.
I have ideas that I want to like bring by Orion, your brother. He's going to be helping us out.
Yeah.
And I also want to see what he can dish out too. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's really nice to have the relief and like the weight of like everything we've put into like the last year kind of like starting to lift off of our shoulders, and in some ways another weight is setting down on us in different ways, but it's just nice that now we can start working on like some other like different exciting, like, you know, really exciting stuff, you know, instead of like doing the same thing over and over again that we've just been doing.
Right But yeah. Also we gotta keep on that too.
Yeah, that, you know, definitely, but it's just to have that branch out and just to have just to make videos and just come up with ideas for that and how we can incorporate that with like our music and make it one with each other, you know.
Right I feel you on that. It's just exciting, and to be able to put some art on it, you know, that's even better. Like, we're in a community full of artists. I honestly think we should, like, you know, get as much help as we can. Like, I feel like, I don't know, our resources are infinite. We could just ask friends.
This is true.
You know.
I agree with you on that. Let's see what we were going through next. We want to talk about some of your gear that you had going on. Kind of nerd out here a little bit.
The secret sauce.
The secret sauce.
The secret formula.
The secret formula.
To the Krabby Patty.
To the Krabby Patty. Basically, I'm plankton right now. No, I don't think I'm plankton. I'm more like Squidward. Or crab? I don't. Are you SpongeBob? Who's SpongeBob in this situation?
I'm the spatula. I'm just a tool, to be used, and expedited, to help make the wonderful things. So, like how I did that. Yeah. I don't know, but what do you want to know? Like
I guess we give a shout out to your. What do you got your cabs going through right here?
Oh, shout out to Mills Custom for that. They are based out of where are they from? St. Louis. You were just talking about St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, he wants me to come down there to like play with some of his amps. So, yeah, I'm playing out of two cabs, 212s in each of them. They're both kind of staggered.
But staggered opposite.
Opposite,
they're
sorry.
They're opposite of each other.
Yeah, sorry, not a wrong choice of words.
No, you were right. Like, they're staggered. They're both staggered speakers, but, like, they're both one staggered
on the opposite side.
Like, horizontally, yeah. And the other one staggered vertically.
Right, and then the same thing applies to the other one. But the two speakers on top are, they're all Eminence speakers, but I don't know which ones he used for the top ones. Shout out to Justin for doing that for me. But the bottom ones, I actually just got that cab more recent, within the last year, and that has a Swamp Thing and a Cannabis Rex.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for the Doom, it doomifies real nice. They're both closed backs, loud things. It play. Usually, I had it playing out of a Kemper. Actually, I take that back. I had it playing out of a Katana. But luckily, Nolan let me borrow his Mark V, his Mesa Miesa.
The pre-Gibson Mark V.
Oh, yeah, pre-Gibson, right. Got to put that in there. Have they even made anything yet? I don't even know.
I'm not sure either. I don't know if they've announced any, like, new...
new shitty releases?
New products, but I have a pre-Mesa Gibson, and I've played it through the pre-Gibson... Pre-Mesa Gibson, and I've played it through the pre-Gibson Mesa. Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful amp.
It's pretty. It slaps. It slaps you around.
Yeah.
One or two times.
Yeah. For the tubes in it, it better.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then, you know, through my board, I got some fuzzes on there. Some delay. You know, typical things you'd have on your board. Yeah. And then, most of the work just comes from the guitar. I just play out of a normal Les Paul. Threw some laces in it, in those pickups. So, get some nice, low tones from that thing. Forgot what they're called. Knucklebuckers? I don't know. Something buckers.
Bare knuckles? I can't remember either. So what's the worst concert they've ever been to?
Ever been to?
Yeah, like either like it could have been a band that you really like that you've seen them before, but it was still just like a bad performance, or just like overall just like worst concert experience, you know? It doesn't have to be like just a shitty band that you saw, you know? You know what I'm saying? It could be, like, a high-profile band that just, like, sucked also. You know, seeing System of a Down was kind of a...
That was a big letdown. Actually, that's one of the, like... If I were to, like, place it somewhere, I would expect more from that. And that would be on the top five.
Yeah.
I don't have many, but... Because I'm grateful for every show I go to. It's like, I get to see these guys fuck up, and that's great. I'm about that. Do something different. Like, right. I've heard your album a million times. What can you do with one hand?
Right, exactly.
Can you Def Leppard it? But.
So what would you say the worst concert or worst concert experience that you've been to is?
Oh, man. Can't really... I have to, like, think about this one. Can it be, like, something I did? I played... I've had a horrible experience.
Well, that's what I'm. That'll be a separate question.
Oh, that's a separate question.
Yeah, separate question. Right. Show that we played will be the worst show that we played will be separate.
Okay, all right.
So worst concert experience where you've gone out to go see a band and it was like, whether it was the venue was shitty, the band was shitty, they fucked up or something terrible happened or whatever.
You got anything?
I would say probably one of the worst concert experiences that I had was Queens of the Stone Age at Riot Fest.
Really?
Yeah, we were super up close, and it just got fucking too crazy.
Like, and the crowd, or just, like...
Yeah, the crowd, and, like, the person that we were with was, like starting to faint, and it was just, like, we were all crushed, and, like, the... Security guard wouldn't let us climb over like the front rail.
Oh, the grail. Usually they're supposed to let you do that though.
And they're like, no, it's you like gotta health, go. You gotta like go back thing. Through. You know, and we're like, oh fuck. You know, like, you know. So we're. It was just. It was.
Plus, Riot Fest is huge. You know how long it takes for someone to get to the edge of the goddamn like rail.
Forever through all of that fucking bullshit. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. That was probably one of the worst ones. Another bad one was. What's that one? Spring Awakening. I was at Spring Awakening for Pretty Lights, and some chick or whatever was had like a seizure or whatever and like fell on the floor, and it was just like,
oh God, you know, that actually reminds me of something that, okay, you continue on. Yeah.
I was in a different state of mind for sure. I was in no way, I mean, even now, even just like in a normal state, I couldn't help someone in that like position, and like, you know, in an altered state, I was also not able to help that person in any way. And like the music was like so loud, know,
it's just like bass, bass, bass.
And it just like, you see people like screaming for like help, and like you can't hear it.
Oh God!
And you just like hear like this bass music going on, and it was just like, yeah, just not a pleasant experience.
I bet, you know, it wasn't. I bet it wasn't. Okay, you kind of jumped, like you kind of like sparked something for me.
Kickstarted,
yeah. So speaking of people passing out, I was at Rockford Arena, wherever that is in Rockford, there was a band playing. This is when I was like fresh out of high school. I was like 19, and this chick does also, in fact, pass out. I don't know if it was. I don't think it was a seizure. I think it was. I don't know what it was, but she just like dropped like a sack of potatoes on me. And I'm like, what's going on right now? And, you know, 3 Days Grace is playing. Yes, I went to go see 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, and who's that other band?
Stone Sour?
Yeah, it was Stone Sour.
I think I was there, too.
Bro, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, in Rockford?
Yeah.
It was like an outdoor, like, racing track?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the, yeah, right, because there was a speedway. Yeah, like, I thought that was an arena. I don't know. I thought it was called Rockford Speedway Arena or something like that. I don't know. But, yeah, and they had the stands in the back.
Yeah, was there.
Yeah, yeah, this chick just fucking passed the fuck out, and I'm, like, trying, like, so hard to, like, you know, get her to the side, and, like, there's no security anywhere. Right when you need them. Like, sure, they'll watch you smoke your fucking weed and give you shit about that. But where are you at when some, like, 300-pound person just fucking just passes out and you're, like, trying the best that you can to, like, you know, get some help? And, like, everyone around's, like, not even helping. And right. I'm just like, come on. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I was at that concert.
Yeah, yeah, that happened. I was there also again. For, it was like, I forgot what the thing was called, but there was a whole bunch of bands that played that day. It was like, POD was there, Chevelle was there, a whole bunch of other bands. Drowning Pool was there, that was great. Drowning Pool was amazing.
Yeah, I only remember being at the one with, like, Stone Sour.
Yeah, that was a whole different, yeah.
And 3 Days Grace.
Yeah, that was like a whole nother one, but I was there for that too. But
someone cooking something?
I don't smell anything. Mm. No, but and then another really shitty one was that one I went with you. We went to Milwaukee with Nika and your girl.
Oh, did you go see Ween?
That,
yeah, that sucked.
Dude, that was like, I think that was like at least right up there on the what the fuck scale. Like, I've never been to a show where I saw Wookiees, and, like, I don't even know what I call the other ones, but they were, like, furries, all in the same place, wearing, like, Crocs.
Yeah. That sucked. They played shitty songs.
They played for, like, ever. I'm like, like, when does this end? Did we leave even before?
Yeah, we didn't stay for the whole thing.
Dude, even that bar we went to beforehand to, like, try to pregame at was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
That whole experience of Wisconsin just sucked that night.
Yeah, that was pretty shitty. I totally forgot about that.
I love Wisconsin! My dick.
Wisconsin?
Huh?
Wisconsin?
Winning? Yes.
So what's the worst show that you played?
I can tell you, it wasn't with the Waterfall King.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, like, you always have some minor things, but you know, that's normal. You know, that is never on your side.
Every show is a journey.
Yeah, every show will have some negative energies that'll try to screw you over one way or another, but you just gotta, you know, dodge them and keep going with it.
Yeah.
But worst show ever. My first band I was ever with, we were called Broken Motion. This is like a high school band, right? And we had to play in the city at Abbey Road Pub or something like that. Abbey Pub? Something like that. But it was a cool spot. But we were under agreement with a company. And for everyone out there that knows who this is, can also probably feel some kind of pain. They're called Afton. And they are a...
Never heard of that.
All right, Afton is a... They were on the internet, and all they really did was try to book shows, right? And the people that were booking these shows didn't give a rat's ass what kind of music you played. As long as they can fit three or four bands on a bill, and you can pre-sale at least 10 to 25 tickets, you're okay, and you should get some money. Right? Like, and this wasn't about the money. This was just us trying to get out there. But they're like, did you sell these tickets? Because you need to sell these tickets, you know, to play. So we basically just paid for these tickets out of pocket ourselves so we can play on this bill. And, man, when we got there, we were playing with so many random people. There was, like, a dude that just played piano.
And yeah, that's fucked.
We're a rock band, you know?
Right.
And, like, there was one guy who was a rapper. There was a chick who played, like, a violin.
Yeah, I just searched him up. It said, for rappers and bands.
Yeah, it's, it was horrible. And I will say this. When we got there, they're like, who are you? And we're like, what? And then this guy randomly shows up late. And I guess he worked with the booking agency. Showed up. Collected the money, didn't even stay to collect normal money from, like, people that were just supposed to show up to the door, and he's like, yeah, you'll see your money in a check when it comes in. And basically that whole show sucked. The PA wasn't even a PA, it was like a karaoke machine. We had to loan our drum set out to, like, two other bands. They had, like, eight bands playing that day, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
Damn, that's super fucked.
Yeah, and they were told this they'll have a house kit there. And luckily our drummer did not want to play the house kit, or else we wouldn't have had a drum kit.
Yeah, which would have been super fucked.
Yeah, and the bathroom was in the middle of where this, like, the stage was, like, behind, so you'd see people go in and out of the bathroom.
I feel like Penny Road Pub, like, the bathroom upstairs.
It's on the side, though. It's on the side. It's a little different. This was, like, nonchalant. You could just open it. You could see someone washing their hands. That wasn't, like, a killer or anything, but, you know, like, what if someone took a massive dump and you're just, like,
whiffing it?
No, not even that. As someone that's just watching the band, I'm watching the dude that goes in the bathroom, and I'm counting to see how long that bitch is in there. Did you wash your hands? How long have you been there? Five minutes? All right, you probably did that. Some guy that's been there for 30 seconds, you know, they just whipped it out, threw it in there, and just left. Didn't even flush. No, but, yeah, on top of that, yeah, the guy just left. Didn't even see us play or the last four people play. And then we get a check in the mail for one penny.
Yo, that's fucked up.
It was funny. We framed it.
That's what's
up. We framed that shit, and we're like, that's our first show. Oh, yeah. That's the kicker. That was our first show.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I would say... I've had probably some pretty bad shows, but probably would say, like, the worst show that I played was the only show that Seeds of Apollo did. We played at Cairo, we did two songs, and then they cut us off and told us that we had to get off stage.
Yo, dude, I remember you telling me this story. I was like, what?
And then, yeah.
Why did they do that? Because, like, no one was in that room or what?
I think...
They wanted the DJs to play or what?
So, we were playing... I think it was Steve's from Paranoid Justice birthday party, and Paranoid Justice played first. So, it was like everybody was there to see Paranoid Justice, right? So, they played first, and then everyone left and went to the other room.
The Luca Lounge?
Yeah. When we played, and, like, so they were, like, you know, celebrating his birthday, like, after that, so there was, like, nobody, like, for us, and we took forever, and we were, like, playing, like, electronic-y weird music, and, like, we did two songs, and there was, like, 10 people there, and then they were like, hey, you gotta stop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. That's, like, that's, like, a big, like... If someone ever told me that, I'm going to be like, excuse me? Like, let me finish the set.
Like, yeah. Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
So, that was probably the worst one.
Is there any beef there?
No, whatever. Andrew and nobody was there, you know?
Oh, it wasn't them?
No, it was somebody else.
Really? Not even Tony was there.
Oh, Tony was there, yeah.
He was the one who told you to stop, though, right?
I don't know, but we still got paid for it.
Still?
We got, like, 100, 110 bucks or whatever.
I wish I was there.
But, yeah, that definitely sucked. What's the best show that you played?
Best show I ever played? Man, that's a toss-up. But they were both at Side Street. It was either the one with just me and you or the Battle of the Bands one with Phantoms and Pestilence where you saw us at.
Yeah, that was a badass show.
Dude, you know it. That energy in that room was like basically what we had when we were playing outside. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is about that place or the people, but you just feel like you're... Like, you and the people around you are just levitating and... There's nothing nobody can do about it.
Right.
Like, dude, we had, like, cops rolling by us, like, flashing their lights, and, like, it was fine. They're like, keep doing it.
Yeah, that was a good time. I would say, for me, that was probably the best show, or I did a show with Jeremy Blue Future where I didn't play, like, the whole thing. I just did... a song that he was, like, kind of remixing.
Was it the Rage?
Rage Against the Machine. Yeah. And so, like, I did the guitar solo and, like, the guitar parts in the song, and that was, like, to, like, a packed house, and that was pretty legit.
Someone got video on that?
Yeah, I got video on that.
Yeah, nice. You gotta share that with me.
Yeah, I can show it to you later.
Yeah. But, like, that one with the... Going back at that Phantom show, I just remember one thing. It was, like, when we finished playing... Like, I walked outside, and, like, someone wrote on... Because, you know, there's a building across the street? Uh-huh. Someone wrote across the whole building on the windows. Like, they had, like, construction paper, and they had her name on there.
Yeah, that's what's up.
I was like, that's fucking dope. I was like, friends.
Friends.
But, yeah, dude, that Blue Future one probably rocked ass.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. Well, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
Some good shows that we played.
Yeah.
That's a good spot.
That's good.
All right, man. We out of here.
Catch you next time.